Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and this is the Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast. We're so happy that you would join us today. Indeed, there is a word from the Lord, and we want to get into it. But before we do, let's go ahead and have our morning announcements and get into our prayer. With none other than Prophetess Crystal McQueen.
Good morning, everybody. God bless you. Once again, welcome to our show, Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We are very blessed that you have joined us this morning to partake in the glory and the goodness of the Lord. Amen. This morning, in the way of announcements, just letting you know, every Tuesday at 7 p.m., and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join Apostle McQueen for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. On Thursdays at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. You can hear every broadcast live at www.ctkr.org. That is also our website. We invite you there to visit us. Let us hear from you and let us know how this broadcast is blessing your life. If you need prayer, if you need any information, or if you would like to invite us for any ministerial engagements, as you're on our website, go to our contact page. Amen. Follow the instructions and someone will get in contact with you within 12 to 24 hours. Amen. Also want to let you know Christ the King Redemptive Ministries and Women of Prophetic Destiny have a Facebook page. Like us on our Facebook page. Let us hear your praise report. Amen. Let us know how God is blessing you and what he is doing in your life. Again, you can locate us under Christ the King Redemptive Ministries or Women of Prophetic Destiny. Those are the announcements for this morning. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father, right now, in the blessed name of Jesus, God, we thank you for this day. This is a blessed day. This is a holy day. This is a righteous day. Why? Because this is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Father, as we come before you this morning, we humble ourselves in our spirits. God, we bow before your throne this morning. We ask for forgiveness, God, that you would wash us from all of our iniquity, all of our unrighteousness. Wash us in the blood of Jesus. Make us clean in Jesus' name. We thank you, God, right now. Even now, God, as the word comes forth this morning, Father, we ask that you would empower it. Empower your word. Enlighten your word. Charge your word this morning for your people. Let them hear, amen, a word that's going to bring deliverance, a word that's going to bring healing, a word that's going to bring comfort, a word that's going to push them into their destiny, a word that's going to push them into their next dimension, a word that's going to shift their very existence. In the name of Jesus, God, we thank you right now. Now, we bind the works of the enemy in the atmosphere. We call his works null and void in Jesus' name. As we come forth, as the man of God comes forth this morning, crown him with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Let him speak forth the oracles of God in Jesus' name. Let us not hear the man, but let us hear Christ in the man right now. Father, we bless you. We thank you. We glorify you. We even ask, Father, that everything that is barren, God, that you want to see live, we ask that you would speak life into it right now. Breathe into barren wombs, God, in Jesus' name. Let things come forth this morning, Father, giving you glory, giving you praise, giving you honor. We thank you. We glorify. We praise you. We magnify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen again.
And amen. Thank you for that awesome dynamic prayer. Listen, it is at this time that we begin to look at what God is saying to his children. We know that he has indeed called us into not only our wealthy place, but into a place of obedience. Amen. No more can we walk around in you know, a stupor, saying, well, you know, I'm trying to find out what God wants me to do. We already know what God wants us to do. And for the most part, many have heard the call, received the invitation, but didn't like the stationery it came on or the place where the event will be held. So we'll sit back and wait for them to send us something. It came on plain paper and you wanted it to come bedazzled. Amen. It came and it said it was going to be over at this Plain Jane place and you wanted it to be at a Coliseum. So you're waiting on this wonderful piece of invitation that's going to come, that's going to set you up in lights and put you on the highest platform. And a lot of times you're not going to see any of that until you have actually done the work. Amen. At the lower levels. Amen. God can't put you up there until he qualifies you. Amen. And what do I mean qualify you? He knows what you're going to do, but you need to know what you're going to do. Amen. And at the point where you talk and you say it and you believe that it's at a certain level, sometimes God has to remind you of where you are. You know, and none of this is a surprise to God. I need to really make sure that y'all understand that. Sometimes we're walking around thinking that, you know, this, ooh, I didn't know. God didn't even know this. Yeah, he knew it. Amen. He is omniscient. He is all-knowing. Amen. And that's not just knowledge. Amen. That if there is any knowledge, he already knows it. This is, he knows your end at the beginning as well.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So while you're there giving a wonderful, trying to make it look like you're about to go all the way with the Lord knows that you're going to make 17 steps, pause, and then regress. You know, probably about 5, get convicted, and then walk another 20 steps. So you're sitting there thinking that God is, he don't know that this is what's going on. Trust me, he knows. But while he knows that, notice he doesn't remove from you the call or the assignment.
Thank you, Jesus.
See, we think that if we don't do it, God's going to raise somebody else up. And truly, he can. Amen. Because the work is going to get done. But you don't have an opportunity later to decide to go ahead and do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the thing that we have to really look at. Because we don't take that into consideration when God gives us a commandment and we decide to hold off, wait, you know, all my life, and we start going into the excuses of why we can't obey God. You know, after all is said and done, you don't know if you're going to have an opportunity later to get it right. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to take every opportunity to walk forward and do what we can do to the best of your ability. The Holy Spirit helping you, you will be successful. Amen? Yeah. And when I say the best of your ability, I don't mean you just refuse to go because they getting on my nerves. I just, God got to help me. No, you need to help yourself in that situation. Amen? There's some personal development responsibilities that we have to do. We try to put everything off on God. Well, if the Lord wants me, then he should. No, no. He's already issued out the commandment. You as a child of God, be obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit and get in line. Come in alignment and do what God called you and told you to do. And stop making excuses. Here it goes again for bad behavior. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go into the word. I want to look at, a situation here. And this right here really goes back to some of the things that I'm saying. You know, when we talk about don't look now, you're walking out a miracle. As a matter of fact, that's where we're going to go. You need to see this for what it is. Amen?
Amen.
And you've heard me preach around these different principles. All I'm going to say is this. I'm an apostle and of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he gives me assignments, and I'm not going to preach, you know, all this other stuff, but I will preach Jesus all day long. Amen?
Amen.
And when we preach other things, it's because there is a need to bring us back to why we are preaching Jesus and what we're doing and why it needs to be done that way. Amen?
Yeah.
Nothing personal, but it's something that has to be done a certain way to make sure that God gets his glory out of our lives. And we have to make sure that we're not looking at, you know, this from the angle of what can I do to make me greater.
Right, right.
But what can I do to make him greater?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Okay. When we say, Lord, we magnify you, what we're saying is we're making you bigger.
Right.
Amen. But I don't know magnification that goes into demagnification. Amen. Mm-hmm. So we have to make sure that if we're magnifying him, we are making him bigger and not smaller. Amen. Right. That means that he increases, but we decrease.
Yes.
He increases, but the problem and the situation decreases. Amen? Y'all see that?
Yeah. Yeah.
So we start trying to magnify, you know, our personal comfort and our personal feelings and other stuff above what God wants done and how he wants it done. We got to make sure we're focused on him and that he gets the glory out of all of this.
Amen.
Now, Matthew, the 14th chapter, the 25th verse, it says, "Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And the disciples saw him walking on the sea." When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." For they cried out for fear. Everybody say fear.
Fear.
And you have to understand that when God gives you something, you got to get beyond yourself and beyond those who are around you who can't see what God is calling you to. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So they cried out, and they cried out in fear. But immediately, 27th verse says, "But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, Come." Everybody say, come.
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 Amen. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. It's that fear again. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Look at your neighbor and say, it's only a test.
It's only a test.
Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, Truly you are the Son of God. Now, The thing is, we have to understand here in this passage of scripture is very familiar. We've heard it preached several different ways at different times. I've preached it, I'm quite sure, as I go throughout my life and my career as a man of God preaching the gospel, I will preach this sermon a number of times. And each time that I'll minister from this passage of scripture, the Holy Spirit will show me something different. You have to understand something, and that is that God is not finished with you. And his word is not silent. It is not the written word of God that became simply logos written so that it can be viewed and perceived and followed in the book. But it is rhema.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And the thing about rhema is that rhema is something that addresses a right now need with a right now answer. Amen. Mm-hmm. So when rhema comes, it will take into account what God has said and what God is saying, but it will address your issue. So the word of God that we read from yesteryear, if you will, is still speaking clearly today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's applicable to your situation.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
We have to understand that because there are people who will have you believe that the Bible was a group of writings from a group of men back in the day, and it don't do anything today. And, you know, if you want to really get into the Word or figure some stuff out, maybe, just maybe, you should you know, read one of the other books and try to find God a number of different ways, because he's coming, or he's going to reveal himself through our creation, as the word says. But, you know, we found him in other things. That way there's a little bit of truth with Buddha. There's a little bit of truth over here with Shiva. There's a little bit of truth over here with Muhammad and Allah. And after all is said and done, we can come into a full view of what the truth is if we study all of these disciplines and come to know who he is ourselves. Then we can worship him fully as God. How about no? Huh? Because the thing is that when you begin to worship, amen, those things as if they have validity, amen,
mm-hmm.
huh? Then you begin to put credit and give credit where no credit is due. Amen?
Amen.
So the enemy knew that the word of God was stand and began to work out ways to muddy the waters, if you will. And there are people out there meaning well, but doing crazy, thinking that they can take the word of God and belittle it down to man's writing or a certain group of men's babbling. Amen. Hmm? See, you can't do that and expect that the word of God is going to work for you. Amen. The word has to stand on its own. And isn't it interesting that everybody uses the Bible as a means of validation for theirs?
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, we truly believe in God. Yeah, you say you do. But the reality is you may not. Amen?
Amen.
Because you believe in a God. But do you believe in God? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So here we have then. The word of God here in Matthew speaks wonderful things to us, if you will. There you go. Amen. It shows us something that we need to look at and learn and know. Let's take it from the top. Matthew 14:25. Now the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the water. And you have to understand that there's a lot of things that will happen in your life that God has already spoken concerning you. But because we are disciples of him, we have followed him. Amen. That word disciple means to be disciplined by. Amen. Yeah. To follow the order through the disciplines of. Amen. So if I'm a disciple, then that means that I need to look at the example. And I like this passage here because Jesus does not just begin to speak to us and show us, something that he's saying. He demonstrates it to us first. The Bible says very clearly, these works, Jesus was speaking and saying, these works that you see, these works that I do, you shall do also. Mm-hmm. And greater works. Amen. So before we get to the greater works, you heard me say this before, we got to at least do the works that he's been doing. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So here's Jesus now. He's demonstrating something that we're going to see carried on throughout this passage here. That means that he starts with the miracle, and he's going to continue a miracle and invite others in to experience that miracle. Amen. Mm-hmm. And as we get through this, you'll see how this thread goes through. And that's why Jesus, when he was praying in Matthew, the sixth chapter, he began to pray the model prayer, as we have it, the Lord's Prayer, some call it. He began to say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Listen, thy will be done on earth as it is, not being done. Not being planned, but as it is in heaven. So then that's something that we have to see. Jesus said to them in the book of John, he said, I do what my Father do.
Mm-hmm.
What I see my Father do, that I do also.
Mm-hmm.
So then that means that there has to be an example. Amen. We have to see an example so we know what to follow, not only what to follow, but how to follow it.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So here is Jesus then setting an example. Before anything can happen here, we have to see him doing what he's doing. And what is Jesus doing here in the 26th verse or in the 25th verse? Jesus, on the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And that's the problem that a lot of us have. God starts to move, and the first thing we do is we try to mysticize it. It becomes a mystical being or a mystical event. Instead of just saying, you know, the Lord is in his holy temple,
yeah.
Let all the world, all the earth be silent before him and watching what God is doing. As soon as we hear something, the first thing we do is we go, hush, something's going on. Ooh, I don't know. I don't know. Did you hear something? I heard something. Wait a minute, hold on. This is not a spooky tale. This is not a horror movie. This is not Fright Night. Amen. This is God doing something, and we, his children, need to be aware of what he's doing.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
So now Jesus comes, and when they first see him then, he is doing something that defies logical explanation. There is no logical way, no scientific way known
mm-hmm.
that he could be walking on water in the midst of a storm.
Yes.
Huh? So as they see him, you know, they have to deal with some things. And let's back up just a little bit. 22nd verse. The Bible says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat
mm-hmm.
and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitude away. Sometimes the lessons of your life have to happen when nobody's around you.
Mm.
God will pull you away from wandering eyes and prying eyes, amen. And you know, it's interesting. Kids, if you watch them play outside in the yard or whatever, you'll see them play and fall and they'll get up and look at themselves and then go right back to running and playing. But if you are standing there and they fail,
mm-hmm.
they're going to start crying and, here you go running over there. So God knows that sometimes what you're going through, you can deal with if you don't have to play the part of the victim. So he moves away from you people who would perceive you as such, so that you can deal with the process of maturing, the process of developing. Amen. He needs to deal with his disciples here because they need to learn the lessons that he's been teaching them. And isn't it interesting that as Jesus is talking to them, amen, this is right after he had fed the 5,000. We can see some of our greatest miracles and still lack faith in God. Mm-hmm. We can come through some of our greatest spiritual victories, see it manifest in your life, and still be missing a true belief in the power of God. So what he has to do is, sometimes he has to, after you have seen it, but you didn't get it, he has to remove you from spectacles or from a spectating position and those who would be spectators to your process and put you in a place where he can take you to a place where you can learn the lesson that maybe you didn't learn with other people around you. Here he is then. 22nd verse said, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitude away. Amen. Nothing to see here. Go about your business. When you see these again, their lives will be changed. And I don't know about you, but I want my life to be changed. I don't want to just be going from lesson to lesson, from process to process, from situation to situation. Still I remain the same.
Yes, sir.
I want to be changed, and I want to develop and mature.
Mm-hmm.
When you see these again, you'll notice, you'll know that they have come through something. Amen. So Jesus made them get into the boat, and then he sent them on before into the test, while everybody who was excited about them was sent away. Amen. 23rd verse says, and when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when the evening came, he was there alone. But 24th verse, and this really right here, sets where this ship is in the fourth watch. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea. You right in that smack in the middle of it now. Tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And you've heard me preach this before, telling you about this contrary wind. Was everything that was questioning and doubtful inside of your environment as it related to the work and the word that God has given you. Mm-hmm. So if God spoke a word and it didn't look like it could come to pass, the wind that is contrary is all of that argument, all of that discussion, huh? All of that, we have this thing where we feel that we can ask questions and don't worry about it. And I tell you, I'm so grateful that God allows us to ask questions. But even after you ask the question, recognize and realize you're still going to have to deal with what God said. What do you mean? Well, you need to ask Brother Moses, because when he was looking at the burning bush, he had some questions concerning the assignment he received there. But even after all was said and done and he posed every question, the design or the plan of God did not change. We do not see where Moses is saying, how can I?
Right.
Well, I can't speak. Well, how shall I? You know, when God told him to go and set his people free, you see he did not change that. But he allowed the question, and even with the question, he allowed him to receive an answer for it. But he did not change the assignment.
Hmm.
Huh? So when we hear God give us something And we begin to walk around and try to work it out in our own minds, we mess ourselves up. Because in your own mind, you cannot understand how such a God could look down on such a lowly one and give such a great assignment and expect it to be completed when in yourself you don't see the means or the capacity or the charisma to even address the assignment. But yet and still God doesn't remove the assignment. He calls you to come up in your faith, in your development, in your maturity to whatever the assignment is. He's not moving the assignment. Amen, amen. So now here they are. They're in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth night, now, while they had been in it for a while, now Jesus goes walking on the water to them. And you have to catch this visualization here. Here they are in a ship, I'm quite sure, being fishermen. Some of them, they had their sea legs on them.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those others may have been over the side, giving up some of those fishes and loads they just had. Amen. Huh? And sitting there trying to figure out how we out here in the middle of this. Quite sure they're calling to Peter and some of the rest of them, telling them, come on, you should know how to get us out of this mess. And isn't that how it is sometimes when we're dealing with our spiritual assignment and those who are under our covering, and we're at the church and we're going through different things, and everyone wants the pastor or the bishop or the apostle or the prophet or the evangelist to give them a word right now that's going to get everybody out of this? Isn't that how the two thieves that were up on the cross, one of them was saying, listen, get yourself down and get us down too. Huh? Mm-hmm. But thank God for those who have a faith in God and will be just like the other one who said, listen, we deserve to be here. But he has done nothing wrong. When you come into your kingdom, remember me. Amen? And when you have people who can do that and understand, then God can get some glory out of the situation. Yes, he can. Amen. Huh? So here these disciples, they're in the middle of the sea, tossed to and fro. Huh? And Jesus now comes walking to them. Visualize, he's walking on what's tossing them. They're being tossed by the waves, and here comes Jesus walking on them like he's just walking over the sand dunes. Nothing. No effect. We don't see him, trying to get his footing. It didn't say that Jesus was stumbling across the water. It doesn't say he was running so that he could try to get through it quick.
Mm-hmm.
It says that Jesus was walking on the sea. And when they saw it, they were troubled. Now, you have to understand, there are some things that people go through in life that will cause other people to have an issue with. Huh? I've dealt with certain people, and they say, well, you know what? We got to do this, that, and other. Because I remember when I came through, it caused me this. So we're going to have to put this safeguard in there. We're going to have to do this. And someone who was wise to say, no, because that was your shortcoming, but this may not be the shortcoming of the test. Amen?
The test is
to test you and to show you where your shortcoming is. I'm glad that showed you that you had a shortcoming and a deficiency in that area, because now you know where and how to shore yourself up in that area of your life. Amen? You now know how to work for or work towards your development in that area right there.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Mm-hmm. So here, when we look at this, Jesus is walking through something that is troubling the 12 that he sent before him.
Mm-hmm.
Troubling. Upset. Disgruntled.
Yeah.
Murmuring. complaining. I have a saying that I use, stop digging in and get your heels up. Because, you know, people, when it's time to move and I need to know what everything's going on. Tell me everything. Wait a minute, hold on. I told you right now. Sometimes you're looking for the pastor and everybody else to get you out of something that they're in themselves. We're all in this together. And except the Lord come and show us a way out, except the Lord come and bring us through, all of us are in the same ship. Mm-hmm. Huh? Peter and them were sitting in that same boat. All of them. Amen. Let me digress before I get down the road past where I am now, because we're going to address that just a little bit. But they're troubled. And instead of dealing with the fact that Jesus said to them, let us go over to the other side, or sent them over to the other side, the first thing they start to do is they start to care or start to doubt if they're going to make it to their destination. Mm-hmm. And let me just pause right here and help you all to understand that if Jesus sent you, if you got the assignment, then you don't have to worry about it being completed, except you stop in the way. Because his word will carry you through to its completion. Yes. Amen. And his word will carry you through to the glory being released. And when the glory is being released, the glory goes straight to the Father. Amen. Mm-hmm. So we do what we do so that the Father can get his glory out of our lives.
Amen.
So here we're looking at this. They're talking about it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. Notice that they're fearful. And there is a difference between a respect for the process or respect for what you're going through versus a genuine fear. Fear, that genuine fear, is the thing that you have when you are facing something that is unknown and you're unsure of the results. Now, let me show you how to get rid of the fear aspect. If your fear is based on you not knowing how it's going to turn out, go back to who gave you the assignment to begin with. And if God gave you that assignment, then you can get rid of the fear concerning the assignment being completed properly, because he doesn't give you failing assignments. Let me say that. Mm-hmm. Huh? If you have fear about the assignment that you've been given and it's been given to you by God, then you can go and get rid of the fear, because God doesn't give you failing assignments. Every assignment that God gives you is a sure guaranteed victory. Why is it a sure guaranteed victory? Because it's going to accomplish what he sent you to do. Jeremiah, amen, and we often talk about him, was given an assignment and told that in the assignment that they're not going to listen to you. Yet and still, set your face as flint.
Said it.
Cry loud, spare not. See, we have to understand that there are some assignments that we've been given that we have to cry out and spare not. And the assignment is not that they listen to you and go run down the road and make you the chief prelate over the organization and celebrate you and open up doors so that you can fill Coliseum. No, that's not the assignment. The assignment sometimes is so that there can be a witness among the heathens that God did care and he does care, amen, but yet and still you have the ability to accept or no. Now, a lot of us have a Jonah mentality because we've been victimized by those we've been sent to deal with as an assignment. He didn't want to deal with the people of Nineveh because they have been oppressing the children of Israel. Amen. Mm-hmm. So when we begin to look at this, you're looking at the Lord sending a prophet to speak to their enemies about getting saved. Mm-hmm. All this time you've been preaching, Lord, slay my enemy, put him under my foot. Whoa, yeah. They under my feet. Yeah. You shouting, writing songs, laying out before you, fasting in prayer. Guess what? Yeah. You lost a lot of food, amen. And you just wasted a lot of words, because Jesus told us to bless.
Yeah.
Huh? Paul picks it up and says, a bless and curse not. Again, I say bless. Your enemies. See, we got it wrong. We're running around talking about, woo, that's okay. They're going to get this because, the Bible said pray for them that despitefully use you. We're supposed to hold them up. And I found that the reason why people do others wrong is because hurt likes to hurt. Huh? When people are hurting, then they lash out to others because misery loves company. In my dysfunction, I create other dysfunctions. You see? So if we're going to deal with that, instead of cursing the dysfunction, we seek to help. Huh? We get rid of that foundating cause. We can get rid of all the resulting effects. You see that?
Yeah.
So instead of lashing out because they did this to me, why did they do it? I don't care why they did. They need to know who I am. No. You need to know who you are. If you're a child of God, get on your assignment. Pray for them that they be healed. Not physically sometimes, because there can be sound physically, but emotionally, mentally. Huh? And once that's healed, then you found out that you have gained a brother or a sister. See? There's a reason why you have to mature, because the way you deal with your enemies changes as you grow in Christ.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Let me get back to this because I want to finish this up today. Amen. Huh? It says, and they cried out in fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. And we're going to see how that works out here. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, be of good cheer. For it is I, do not be afraid. So in other words, as soon as they became fearful, the Lord Jesus told them to rejoice. That's why when you're going through, you need to learn how to get a praise on your lips. When you're going through, you need to learn how to not go around people who are going to sit there as professional mourners, amen, and bemoan what's happening to you. But get with those who know how to worship, those who know how to rejoice. Amen. And while you're doing all of that, then listen to what he's saying. Because while he's speaking to you, you were afraid, but he said, do not be afraid. You were full of fear, but he said, get rid of the fear. Amen. Be of good cheer. It's I. In other words, I sent you through this, and I'm here to validate that even in this, I'm here with you. Amen. I like this right here, 28 verse, because what happens here then is after all of this affirmation, after all of this speaking, after all of the speaking and the encouragement, after all of the validation, here comes Peter stepping up. Amen. And Peter said here in the 28th verse, he answered him. Amen. Which means he heard clearly what Jesus said.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? He answered them and said, Lord, if it is you. Because sometimes, you know, people come saying, you know, the Lord said this, that, and other. And I'm so glad that line upon line, precept upon precept, he makes sure every word is established. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Line upon line, precept upon precept, he makes sure that we get it right.
Yes.
Huh? He said, if it is you, command me to come to you, not just come to you, but on the water. In other words, we see you working and walking out a miracle. And we want to see if, I want to see if I can do this too. So he said, come. Notice in the word come, he did not give him the instructions. He did not tell him, now when you put your foot down, make sure that the surface of your foot hits the water evenly so that it may be able to support the full weight of your, it didn't do that. Huh? We wanted to make sure that he did not give him those instructions so that he could be sure that when he came, he knew that he was supposed to hop two times, turn around three times, one for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy. He simply gives him one word. Now, I like it here. You see that, right?
I do.
He said to him, come. And what's in the red? That period, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Within the quotation marks of what's going on, he simply says the words, come. And then there's a period there. In other words, everything that needed to be said concerning him walking out the miracle was included in the one word that he said, period. I don't want to say it, but it measures, it needs to be done right here, .com, amen. Because after this is done, after it is said, and you have to understand the period is the close of the sentence. It means that nothing else needs to be added to this in order to make it complete, amen.
Amen.
So when we see the word come here with the period at the end, it says that that is all that is needed for the miracle. Those of you who are waiting on people to give you a whole thesis or a dissertation based on what you need to do concerning what God has called you to do, or what you're saying, Lord, I want to do this, and the Lord said, go and do it, and now you waiting on the Lord to tell you how. No, he's not going to tell you how. If you see that you need to climb down out of the ship after he gave you the comb, then get down out of the ship. You don't need word from the Lord to say climb down out of the ship and then put one foot on the water and then put the other foot on the water and then begin to put one foot in front of the other. No, some of this stuff should have been common sense based on who you are and where you are. Peter already knew, being a fisherman, that in order to get out the ship, he had to climb down from being a human and walking all of his life from a child. He knew that in order to walk, he had to put one foot in front of the other. How is it that God can speak to us and we regress back into the point that we don't know nothing and need God to spell out everything for us? When God gives you the word, respond to the word.
Amen.
Look at your neighbor and say, you need to respond to that.
You need to respond to that.
Oh, yes. So Peter then says, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. Mm-hmm. Now, Peter, we don't see him taking time and discussing this. And listen, I want y'all to get this. Get it now. Peter does not take time here and begin to discuss with the other 11 the validity of the come.
Sure.
We do not see him having a meeting, trying to form a quorum of the 11 so that at least he has 6 or 7 of them so that they can make a decision based on what Jesus said to him when he said come. Mm-hmm. We see that when Jesus said in the 29th verse, so he said, come, that Peter got out the boat. The Bible says that when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. In other words, he made it down out the boat. Now, let me help you all out. Because obviously, this was not a small vessel. This was not a row, row, row your boat that 12 of them was in. Huh? It was a ship. And when he came down out of it, the easy part was letting go of something that was physical that you could hold on to actually stand on something that you knew from your experience shouldn't be able to maintain your weight. You see that? People have tried to figure out how this could work and how it could happen. And they've tried to make it, well, you know, at this time, you know, they would have been out there and maybe they would have came by a sandbar so it would have appeared. Listen, get out of that, because the ship would have got stuck if it was a sandbar.
Very true.
Huh? All you're trying to prove and disprove what Jesus has done and what God has done has created the questions that validate that it had to be a miracle if it was done. Don't tell me that it was the Red Sea, and the Red Sea was only so shallow so they could go over when the water blew, when the wind blew, that it would caused the water to back up, you know, because it was only so much of it. So it was low tide and high tide, and that dried it out. And then when they came in, because, well, it couldn't have been no more than 12 inches deep at some part, because that's what would have to be scientifically for that to happen. Well, then that means that the miracle is that God drowned a whole Egyptian army in 12 inches of water. It's still a miracle. Peter comes down off the ship there. Huh? And when he came down, he had to let go of something solid to walk on something that was as solid as he allowed it to be. His faith had to be in the word that Jesus gave him. The Bible says that when Peter came down out the boat, he walked. E.D. Yeah. That means he didn't just get down there and start to sink right at the keel of the boat. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. In other words, he was making steps in the miracle. Mm-hmm. But look at this, 30th verse. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And no doubt that wind that was boisterous was probably those other 11 sitting up in the ship talking about the fact that he's walking on the water. And he starts hearing the voices of those who are around him who are supposed to be his support. Huh? And the first thing he does is he begins to doubt that he could even be doing this himself. He begins to sink. You see this? Because the Bible says that they were full of fear. And Jesus said, do not be afraid. Peter said, let me come to you. Jesus said, come. Peter gets out with no fear to walk to Jesus in faith. He's walking in faith, and as he hears all this stuff going on around him and seeing what's happening, he begins to then move his faith from faith to fear. And when he does so, he begins to sink. You see this? Because I'm trying to tell you that God is doing miracles, signs, and wonders today, and he's going to continue to do it. But if you're around people who are talking you out of your miracle, talking down your faith, then you need to shut their ears or shut their mouths in your ears and make sure that you focus on Jesus. Keep walking the miracle out. Mm-hmm. Huh? He was afraid. Y'all see that? Mm-hmm. That's when the miracle started ceasing. He's already walking the miracle. But when he became afraid like the other 11 in the boat, the miracle ceased. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And you have to understand that that word, Lord, save me, right there, it's important, because sometimes when we're dealing with something, we need to simply go back and repent and ask God to forgive us for having a lack of faith in him, mm-hmm. a lack of faith in his ability, a lack of faith concerning the process, a lack of faith concerning his choice in us for the assignment. We need to regroup, reassess, and then recommit to what God called us to do. Amen?
Amen.
Look at this. Jesus didn't leave him sitting down there. And I'm so happy that it was Jesus who was actually there and not some people, because some people would leave you there trying to prove to you, well, you shouldn't have been down there. You wouldn't be down there now. If it hadn't have been for the fact that you had listened to me in the first place, you wouldn't have been this far in your miracle. But now, since you have doubted me, the Lord going to show you something. Now, wait a minute. The Lord sent you there, if you there, to lift him up out. Brothers and sisters, stop trying to hold people down when it's time for them to stand up. Huh? He didn't send you there to incriminate and to hold down. He sent you there to save. Your assignment is not to convict the world, but to encourage the world. Compel them to come. Amen? He's already done everything he needs to do. We need to do our job now. Immediately, Jesus stretched out, 31st verse, his hand and caught him and said to him, and look at this, I told you the opposite of faith is fear. He said to him, oh, you of little faith. Now, my thing is, and I want you to catch this in these few minutes we have left. Look at what Peter did with oh, little faith. It didn't take a lot of faith. It just took some faith. And with that faith, as long as he believes, he would have continued on. He says, oh, you a little faith, why did you doubt? Mm-hmm. In other words, you were already doing it. Who caused you to doubt what you were already doing? Brothers and sisters, you are dealing with some stuff now. Amen? Uh-huh. Where you walked out miracles. And now here comes the enemy talking and making wolf calls and everything else. And now you starting to fear and, I don't know. Wait a minute, stop. Stop, hold it. Before you get to a place where you are fearful and think that it can't happen, it ain't going to happen, where are you? Are you in the midst of the sea walking on the water to Jesus? Mm-hmm. Or are you doubting in the boat and talking about those who are walking in the midst of the sea walking to Jesus? We got to get ourselves together. Jesus brought them back to the boat. And look at this. It didn't say that Jesus stayed out there and put Peter in the boat. The Bible says, 32nd verse, and when they, that's Jesus and Peter, got into the boat, the wind ceased. In other words, I sent you out here to be tested. I knew what was going to happen, which is why I was so close. That's what Jesus would say. You have to understand, Jesus wasn't there, you know, just to spectate to see if they were going to, you know, succeed or fail. He was there so that they could get the lesson. Huh? Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. In other words, we have now seen something and learned something that is going to help us. I told you at the very beginning of this, when these come back, you're going to see a difference in them. Brothers and sisters, when you are dealing with what God has called you to do, when you get back to the place where God has called you, to the assignment that he called you, when people see you who knew you from before, they're going to be looking for the old you, but a new you is going to walk through the door. And even though they know that's how you look, know that's how you dress, know that's how you fix your hair, it's still somebody new. Mm-hmm. And you have to allow yourself not to regress back to the old, but to demonstrate the growth of the new. Amen? So many times we try to go back and show people, look what I learned, look how I became. No, well, you got to go back because that's part of the lesson that should have died out with the lesson. Mm-hmm. It's you being great in somebody else's eyes. Learn how to be who you are and forget everybody else. I don't have to prove my anointing to anybody else. Huh? Because if he don't do it and prove who I am, it's his job to validate me as a son. If he don't do it, I ain't got nothing to say. The realization of you walking out this miracle, the end result of you walking out a miracle is that God gets the glory. Amen. They came and worshiped and said, truly, you are the Son of God. Brothers and sisters, let's get back to walking out miracles. The world is hearing all kind of words and having discussions and debates on everything. We've turned from preaching the gospel to having theological debates on whether or not creation or evolution and everything else. And people are walking away confused from the cross because we stopped preaching the cross, trying to make points on everything else. Get back to preaching the gospel and saving souls. Come on, let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and we praise you and we honor you. It is in this time that we ask you, Lord, to help us. Miracles, signs, and wonders are needed that those who hear the gospel may believe in the gospel.
Yes.
Help us to get past our personal things and stuff and wants and the rest of that and get down to the assignment that you called us to. We need to do what you have called us to do in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we pray for those who are not saved that they will pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, lead them to a Bible teaching, a Bible-believing church where they can be developed and matured and go on to do the assignments that you've given. Now, we pray for those who are sick. We pray for those who need miracles, signs, and wonders to manifest, that they manifest in their lives. Healing now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.com. Become a vision.org. www.ctkr.org. There you can become a vision partner with us. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. We're revamping our website in the next couple of weeks or so. And the new look, same information if the Lord says the same. But we're moving on and doing some great things in the name of Jesus. And we want you to be a part of it. Help us as we go around the world spreading the gospel. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
A Prophetess McQueen.
A Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, reminding you that it's God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. Listen, I love you and we love you in the name of the Lord. Be blessed, my brothers and sisters.